We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Got quite a show on for you today. Spencer Smith is in the studio from 4Ag, and we're going to be talking here in just a minute about planters, getting your planters ready. But first, let's check on the weather real quick. 55 degrees at Slap Out, 55 at the May Ranch, 55 at Lahoma, 59 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon, 62 at Hollis, 61 at Hobart out here in the panhandle of Texas, 59, the mezzanine's still down at Lipscomb. What'd you guys do to that up there? Fix it. 59 at Miami, 59 at Wellington, and 62 at Odell. All right, in the studio with me right now, Spencer and I are going to go through a couple, 2 or 3 weeks of series of getting your planter ready. Welcome to the studio, Spencer.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jimmy. Hey, sorry I had to ditch you last week. I was sick. Under the weather.
I'd rather you stay where you're at.
I just stayed at home. So,
if you guys got any questions about what we're going to talk about today, this is going to be a series, so don't get down the road on us. But if you today is going to be setting your planter up to get ready, if you got any questions about setting your planter up, feel free. Spencer will be here for the first segment, but he's got to go to the city. But anyway, if you got a quick question you want me to ask him while he's here, we sure will. So anyway, first, before we get to planters.
Yep, before we get to planters, we got a lot of stuff coming up. So this coming up weekend is the Oklahoma City Farm Show.
Right.
And also the Denim Ball. For, you know, to raise money for the advancement of cotton in the state of Oklahoma.
Where's that at?
That's going to be held at the Skirvin Hotel.
Okay.
On Friday and Saturday. And you can register online and at okiecotton.com.
Okay.
And it's a really good fundraising event. We got great sponsors, and it just brings awareness for cotton and to help us advance cotton in the state of Oklahoma.
Okay.
So, and then also...
Big weekend there.
It's a big weekend next weekend.
Yeah.
And then on April 13th and 14th, we have the Elk City Farm and Home Expo. It's crazy. It's our 40th annual.
Really?
Yeah.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah, I think my dad's been on it since the beginning. I don't know that for sure, but I think he has.
I seen your dad this morning over at the NRCS. They was having a little conservation meeting.
Yeah,
they're
having their meetings over there. And
your old buddy Jake was there.
Was he? Jake's there. And so you got the All Breed Bull Sale, which would be on Saturday, April 13th at 2 p.m. And then also on Sunday will be the Kids Pedal Tractor Pool. I believe it's at 1 or 2 o'clock. I'd have to double check.
And there,
on the time.
Is there a cook-off this year too?
Yeah, we're going to do the cook-off, and a lot of good things going on. And then we're also going to offer CEUs through OSU Extension.
Saturday.
It's on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday
so that's
morning.
Saturday morning, and there'll be coffee, burritos, lunch provided, and so that's a good deal for the guys that are needing some CEUs. And it doesn't hurt to start early on getting those.
Right. Yeah, because they've already started on them.
It's already started.
And I think you can get on the Elk City Chamber of Commerce Facebook page and find all this information.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, and then they'll take breaks periodically. You know, you can go walk around the farm show and then go back into session.
How's the farm show look this year? It was pretty good last year.
It's looking good, you know. So we made a lot of friends, you know, going to the farm shows and stuff. And then Martin Teal. Row Cleaners out of Kentucky. You met Clint in Amarillo.
Yep.
They're setting up a 30-foot-long booth of all their row cleaners, and then all for planters, and plus they're also going to have their concave system for combines.
They were here. Were they here last year?
They were here last year. Yep. Yep.
That's where I met him.
Yeah. So he's going to drop his trailer off on the way after Oklahoma City and leave it here for the next week and then come back up for the next weekend.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. All right. It's exciting times.
Farming. A lot going on right now.
Let the farming begin.
Let the farming begin. You know, hey, so Junior Partain, we were driving around earlier and looking at cover crop. You know, it's getting pretty close to make that decision of when to kill it.
Yeah,
I'm trying to decide. That's hard. It's hard to make that call, but it's coming up here pretty.
What
quick.
Do you base your decision on?
That's a loaded question, man.
Now, that's why I ask it.
Yeah, you know, we look to see how much it's headed out. You know, walk out there, see how far the weeds are coming along, and. I would say, you know, what you run into is some of the field needs to be killed and some of it doesn't. And it's not much fun you don't want to drive and then have to come back and touch it back up.
Right.
You know? So it's kind of a tough call. And, you know, they're calling for some rains next week. So I'm kind of having a hard time deciding what to do.
But, well, would the rains help mature some more weeds out and stuff?
Yeah, that and
depends on how much rain we get too.
Yeah, and I like to put a pre-emergent down with that. Whenever I go to terminate that cover crop.
And your first plant date is scheduled for when? Probably. Time frame.
On cotton, it'll probably be right there around the May. Usually May 20th, kind of, you start getting excited. May 15th, May 20th, start getting excited.
Because peanut season's a month away.
Yeah, that's creeping up fast.
Yeah, it's coming. It's here. It's coming. And so, anyway. All right. So since you haven't made that decision.
Yep, I don't know what
I'm gonna do. It's time to get the planter out. What are we going
to
do?
It's time to get it out. And, you know, so when hooking up to your planter, you know, double check all your hoses and everything. Just put an eye on I like to just put an eye on everything, just look everything over to try to prevent something that's going to cause you broke down in the middle of planting. And so when hooking that up, you know, it's really important for, like, say, on your three-point planter, to where your main 7-inch draw bar is level. And so what I like to do is I'll hook it up, go out in the field, try to find a flat spot on the field, and just have a second person driving the tractor and just going real slow, let the planter just, you know, no seed, just driving forward, and see if that bar tilts forward or tilts backward.
Okay.
You want it to run as level as possible, because if that planter bar is nose down, well, if you think about it, like if it's nose down up here towards the front, and then you got your planter row unit back here, well, that seed tube that's traveling the seed down to the ground, now that seed tube's going to be like
up in here a little bit.
It's going to be angled. It's going to be angled up.
Up.
Yeah. So now it's going to cause it's going to make like a ramp for when that seed hits. It could actually loft out of the seed trench, you won't get an accurate planting depth throughout your farm.
Gotcha.
You know, I like my plants to be as space as
perfect,
as tight as, you know, as best as possible. You know, to where you don't have a lot of skips. You know. And whenever if that's lofting, you're gonna have, you may have skips with no plants, or you may have more than likely you're gonna have more skips than you would doubles, I would think.
I got it. So what happens if it's down in the back?
So if it's down in the back, it's better to be, if you're not level, it's better to be down in the back, because now it's just more than anything, it's just gonna put a little bit more pressure back there on your closing wheels or on your seed tube to push it down in there.
Okay.
So that's fine. It's just make sure that the front of the bar is not nose down.
Down. Right.
Yeah,
that's the main thing.
That's a big. I would say if you can get that set right, that's a big adjustment that will help you in the long run for sure.
Right, and it doesn't matter what planter you got. It doesn't matter whether it's green, red, yellow, or purple.
Nope. It just needs, because every one of those seed tubes is curved at the bottom, you know, just to allow that seed to just drag out onto the ground.
Right.
And you just want to make sure it's not tilted up.
I got you.
That's the main thing. So.
And then that's the main thing on getting there. So, yeah, prior to trying it in the field, what's some of the things you're looking for that you might replace, even if it's not totally wore out. Something's wobbling or loose, nuts, bolts.
Yeah, I check nuts, bolts. Like a lot of your, you know, a lot of these hydraulic drive planters, there's gobs of hoses, you know, everywhere. If you're running lift assist or what, you know, there's just a lot of different hoses. And, you know, those hoses are pressuring up and moving around, you know, they got to wear, they're rubbing somewhere. And I just like to check all that and make sure, like, heck, if you need to cut a hose and put over it, so that way your actual hose won't take the abuse, you know,
right.
Stuff like that. Just paying attention to make sure you're not going to take a risk of blowing a hydraulic hose in the middle of planting.
Yeah. Cause that
it's, I mean, that one day that you lose could cost you a lot more than that hose.
Yeah, because if you're down 4 hours, 5 hours, mm-hmm. and then big rainstorm comes in a couple of days later, and you only like 4 or 5 hours planting.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess what?
That's where. Yeah, you lost it. Yeah.
Yeah, farming's so fun.
It is. It's a blast. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I know you come in here with a smile every time you're in here. So anyway, what are we going to talk about next week on the planters?
I'm going to work on that. I'll figure that. I'm going to do some thinking on that, and I'm trying to work my way back, you know, and get into just try to think of every detail that needs to be discussed, you know. We talked about the tractor last week,
right.
On, you know, just checking your air pressures, make sure your tractor's ready, serviced out, and greased, greased properly. And I'll tell you, like, one little grease cert that's really important, like on a straight axle front tractor, is that pivot.
Yes.
You know, that's one spot that, you know, some people it's easy to overlook that, and I'm guilty of that myself.
Well, they quit eating so much food, they get under there pretty easy. Greaser up.
Golly. Man, I'll tell you, like, that's a tough one that I always forget about, that one, and that can cause a lot of slop up there. But, that you know, just make sure the tractor's ready properly, the tires are properly inflated. And I like to check your ends on your hoses, you know, for your couplers, too.
Right.
You know, whether sometimes those couplers, you need to put a kit in the back of the tractor. You know, that's real easy to do, just to minimize any leaking or anything that you can.
All right, well, we're gonna let you get onto the city, and thanks for stopping by.
I gotta go pick up tires.
Oh,
my leftover. We had a leftover load of tires up there, so I gotta go pick them up.
Oh, for your wheels?
Yeah, for 4AG. Yep. So, busy time of the year.
Are you guys gonna have a booth?
Yeah, I'm going to set up, Clint with Martin Teal, we're going to set up side
together.
By side. Yeah, we try to take over that at whatever area we're in at farm shows, we try to set up side each other and help each other out on everything.
Well, so, yeah, because what you guys do goes side to side.
It does, yeah, it goes side by side, and plus we got the same carpet in our booth, so we just hook it together, you know. makes sense.
All right, well, thanks, Spencer, for coming in, and you be safe going to the city.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
All right, today is the Taylor Ranch happy hour, when we're going to take a Taylor Ranch break. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton?
High cotton!
It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
High cotton!
April 1st through the 13th, we have our filter sales event going on. You save up to 40% on all Napa Gold filters. We will be doing our tool sale also April 1st through April 6th. We're offering 10% off of all Carlisle tools, 5% off of lifts, 5% off of compressors, Milwaukee tools on sale, toolboxes, tool sets. We're also going to have some giveaways on the 5th is our customer appreciation lunch.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd.
QES Pressure Control needs people to help them control pressure out on location. QES is looking for some experienced hands for nitrogen, coil tubing, snubbing, and fluid pumping. They prefer a valid Class A CD. CDL. They're also hiring a maintenance clerk. The pay is good, and so are the benefits and insurance. QES Pressure Control is a drug and alcohol-free workplace, so you need to be able to pass a background check and a drug test. Apply in person Tuesday through Thursday at 2003 South Merritt Road in Elk City or online at QESLP.applicantpro.com.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is proud to announce they're now offering the High Energy Liquid Livestock Feed Mix 30. This liquid protein fat supplement is for cattle on grass or hay forage and is now available at SEI Agritech for pickup or delivery. They also have half semi or semi loads available. For more information, give Ken a call at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317 or stop by the SEI Agritech location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, March the 29th. 1,153 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 325 brought 390. 8 at 391 brought 328. 19 at 527 brought 346. 5 at 552 brought 304. 25 at 725 brought 252. 3 at 1348 brought 174. 7 head of heifers at 379 brought 348. 5 at 434 brought 306. 8 at 489 brought 307. 15 at 555 brought 311. 4 at 615 brought 262. 6 at 660 brought 262. 3 at 740 brought 226. Butcher cows were 70 to 157. Butcher bulls brought 105 to 180. Bred cows were 1450 to 3450. Pairs brought 1625 to 2550. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to that Taylor Ranch break. I got lots of things coming up in the show today. Some good, some okay, but nothing bad. Anyway, here is your Texas Panhandle Ag Weather Update. Dozer, 60 degrees right now. Humidity's 29, dew point's 28, the winds are out of the north at 9 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 25 miles an hour. Month to date, precipitation, 0.09, 9/100ths of an inch. Red flag minutes, none. Sub-freezing minutes, none. 8-inch soil temperature, 54 degrees. According to the Farmer's Almanac, today through the 10th is the best days to plant your tomatoes. So anyway, time to get those tomatoes out, and I got a bunch of them I'm going to try to get in the ground in the next 3 or 4 days. So anyway, according to the almanac and also according to the weather data that I've seen, not guaranteed, you know, weather can change, but according to this, all the way through the 17th right now, there is no signs of freezing weather. Lowest temperature I seen was 43 degrees for western Oklahoma, central western Oklahoma. I didn't look up in northwestern Oklahoma. Average last freeze day for central western Oklahoma is the 11th. Average last freeze day for northwestern Oklahoma is around the 15th to 16th. And southwestern Oklahoma is around the 8th or 9th. So there you have it. It's time to get some gardens going, people. Quit messing around like me and get it done. So let's see here. Let's see what happened overnight. Let's start all over here if I can get to it. There we go. Overnight, corn and wheat futures were higher in overnight trading on concerns about the crops in Brazil. Of course, the USDA lowered its outlook for Brazilian production of corn in 23-24 marketing year due to a El Nino weather system, according to an attaché report from the agency's post in Brazil. Corn output is now forecast to fall to 122 million metric tons. That's down from 124. The El Nino pattern also has posed a significant challenge for wheat output in the South American country also. Production is now projected at 8.2 million metric tons in 23-24 marketing year. That's up from 8.1 a year earlier. Still, output likely would have been higher if it hadn't been for the weather pattern. Corn futures were up 2 cents to 428.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat futures for May delivery added 4.5 cents to 549.75 cents a bushel in Chicago, and Kansas City gained 8.25 to 571.5 a bushel. Soybean futures for May delivery rose 3 cents to 1177 a bushel. Soy meal fell another 60 cents to 327.70 a short ton. And soy oil gained 0.39 cents to 48.99 cents a pound. Looks like not much going on weather-wise. Looks like some snow and strong winds will continue to hammer the state of Wisconsin today with blizzard warnings, winter storm warnings, and winter weather advisories. All that's going on back down into Iowa. Northwest winds will be sustained around 35 to 40 miles an hour with gusts up to 55. And then that's about it. Not kind of quiet out there for ag weather. All right, let's see here. Man, I got so much stuff up here, I don't even know where to go. Let's check on the current prices. Corn, May, 431, up 5. July corn, 444, up 3.5. Soybeans for May, 1186, up 12. July, 1199, up 11.25. Soybean meal, actually on the rise now. May, 330.90, up 260. July, same thing, 334.50, up 240. Soybean oil for May, 48.93, up 33. July is 49.45, up. Whoop, just changed. July is 49.53, up 38. Hard red winter wheat, May, 579, up 15.5. July is 570, up 12.25. Cotton, it's back down below 90. May, cotton, 89.33, down 148. July is 90.57. Down 114. West Texas oil, intermediate oil that is, May 85.71, up 56 cents. And natural gas is down, May 185, down 0.01 to be exact. The Dow and S&P and the NASDAQ are all in the green today. Live cattle for April, 181.82, up 05, up 5. June, 176.35, down 2. August, 173.35, down 20, or up 22. That was weird. Anyway, feeder cattle for April, 241.57, down 192. May, 242.75, down 210. August, 252.55, down 210. Lean hogs are in the green today. April, 87.90, up 135. May, 94.75, up 107. And June is 104.62, up 90. Yesterday, at the last segment of the show, I asked the questions about what state grows the most tomatoes in the United States, and we didn't get to answer that. I had one person text in that had it right. Anyway, California. I think California grows as much tomatoes as the rest of the other 49 states combined, from what I'm gathering in this information I found. So anyway, they grow a lot of maters out there. So anyway, I'm going to give them a run for their money. Not really. They plant thousands of acres of tomatoes out there. It's unreal how many acres of tomatoes they grow out there. So anyway, we got that going on. Let's see here. Let's check out if I think the wind's starting to die down out of the north. I looked at it earlier, and it's up northwestern Oklahoma, still gusting up to 20, 25, but it's calming down here. It's below 20 in southwestern and central western Oklahoma, so we got that going on. Okay, let's see here. Let's just go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. Get an early one, but before we do, let's let me tell you guys about this. I got a couple of fire department deals I want to talk to you guys about today. Poppy's Pit and Grill, Levi Cock with Snap-on Tools, and Great Plains National Bank present a benefit dinner for the Beckham County Fire Departments, Canute Fire Department, and the Berlin Fire Department. Coming up April the 24th at the Elk City Civic Center from 5 to 8 p.m. Cost is a donation. 100% of the proceeds go to the departments listed above. What to expect? A three meat dinner served with two sides, desserts and drinks, activities, fire dog, fire trucks, face painting, and a silent auction. Come support the ones who risk everything to save yours. Snap-on, thank you, Snap-on, and Poppies, and Great Plains Bank for putting this on. Awesome deal. And I want to talk to you a little bit here coming up in the show about Cloud Chief is going to have their calf fry coming up. So I'll tell you guys about it coming up. So let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma has dedicated their life to supporting your farm's success because farming is their way of life. Their superior high-pro feeds are expertly formulated to meet the nutritional needs of your livestock. They provide bulk feed delivery straight to your farm, or for smaller quantities, they offer a variety of feed bags and sacks in different sizes. When it comes to your livestock feed, choose excellence. Choose Hobart Farm and Garden.
Everyone around me was drinking coffee, and I wanted to be a coffee drinker too. But everything I tasted was either too bitter or too sweet. So I tried one more place. Instead of just ordering, I told them an idea of what I wanted, and they crafted a drink just for me. It tasted fresh, like coffee is supposed to. The brew was mild, and the flavor not too sweet. Exactly what I wanted. They've done this for lots of people. They'll do this for you, too. Thanks to Twister's Coffee Company next to Brahms in Elk City, now I'm a coffee drinker. Every day.
From the classroom to the field, Elk City High School students are igniting sparks of brilliance, fueling the fire of progress in every endeavor they pursue. Whether it's breaking records in the academics or dominating the field, these students are the driving force behind Elk City's dynamic spirit. GAS is fully committed to supporting and fostering the spirit of innovation, because in Elk City, it's not just about moving forward, it's about racing ahead. That's why we're...
Southwest Overhead Doors provided sales, service, and installation of garage doors to Western Oklahoma and the East Texas Panhandle since 1980. If you're in the market for a new overhead door for your home or business, let Southwest Overhead Doors show you their selection of quality CHI overhead doors by visiting 1000 South Merritt Road in Elk City, or visit them online at swdooreelkcity.com. A CHI overhead door professionally installed by Southwest Overhead Door provides beauty and value to your home or business.
H2O Bait, Tackle, and More is passionate about helping you get the most out of your fishing experiences. Whether you're chasing trophy bass or simply spending a relaxing day on the water, they have an abundant selection of rods, reels, hooks, and lures, all from the top brands in the industry. While you're there, they'll hook you up with the right equipment for whatever type of fish you are trying to catch. So come see for yourself the biggest selection of fishing gear and accessories in Western Oklahoma at H2O Bait, Tackle, and More on Pioneer Road in Elk City.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They'd love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities and the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Blair Tire and Feed is helping you save some money. Firestone Ag is holding its Spring Into Savings event. That means you're going to save big money on the tires you need. Most Firestone radial tires are included in the sale, like their expanded line of 82 technology patterns and sizes. Eligible standard radial tires will have a $200 discount. Eligible 82 radial tires will have a $300 discount. That's big-time savings on big-time tires during a big-time event. The Firestone Ag Spring Into Savings event at Blair Tire and Feed.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour. Let's see here. My weather deal is down. Now it's up. So let's get to some ag weather in northwestern Oklahoma. And let's go with, who do I want to go with today? Let's go to Cherokee. How about that? We'll do Cherokee. 58 degrees at Cherokee right now. Dew point's 22. Humidity's 25. The winds are out of the north-northwest at 18 with wind gust up to 28 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 41 hundredths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 59 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.7. Sunset at 7:57. Days are getting longer, baby. Sunny. 65 degrees today with northwest winds. Tonight, clear, low around 33. Tomorrow, sunny, 68 with light winds out of the north. How about that? Nice forecast going on there. Well, I don't get to brag on her too often, but if you got your Oklahoma Cowman magazine, in towards the back there is the director spotlight. Well, you guys all know her. Most of you know her. Anyway, she's a wonderful person. She's always nice. She's busy. She's a busy body. So anyway, I want to congratulate Jordan Davis Cook on this article of being the director spotlight in there. But anyway, she wrote it, I can tell, because she starts out with my. And I found out she wrote this at OIE or Stock Show or somewhere up there. Anyway, so anyway, my name is Jordan Davis Cook. I am currently serving on the OCA Board of Directors representing the Southwest District. I was born and raised in Burns Flat, Oklahoma, which is home of the longest runway in the state. I now reside in Cordell with my husband, Nakona, and our two boys, Denton and Baylor. When I'm not working with cattle, I enjoy watching Denton show cattle, participate in livestock judging, and meat judging. Baylor, our younger son, always keeps us on our toes, and that's for sure, and is eager to join in on his older brother activities. Growing up, I was involved in showing Angus cattle and taking part in various contests within the beef industry. In fact, in 2004, I had the top indexing bull in the junior division at the Midland Bull Test. So there you go. Anyway, it's a great article, you guys. If you're a member of OCA, you got this. Oh, anyway, if you're not, you need to join. It's only $100 and per year. So anyway, but here's the keynote. The world famous Lori Campbell at Arnett, she contributed a little bit to it in her best word, just the way she did. Jordan Davis Cook is an absolute force to be reckoned with. You know she is. She will be, you would be hard pressed to find anyone more passionate, dedicated, and educated or educated about the beef business and where'd I lose it? Oh, there it is. It's small print for me today. Sorry, folks. And if you've met her folks, Jim and Debbie Davis, you also know she comes by these great traits. Honestly, Jordan can blow your mind talking EPDs and carcass data and then put all that knowledge and more to work in the cattle pens utilizing her gifted stockmanship. I have the utmost respect and appreciation for Jordan and her husband, Nakona, and how selflessly they serve on numerous boards and committees, all for the betterment of Oklahoma beef. Can I get an amen? You dang right. They're good people. Nakona, I know he serves on different boards. He's in the Cloud Chief Fire Department. Also, he's on the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture Board. And Jordan, there's no telling me how many boards she's on. I know she's on this one. She's on the Farm Bureau. She's on, what else is there? Let me think. I'm thinking. Oh, Oklahoma Angus. I know that's going on. All kinds of good stuff. Anyway, congratulations, Jordan, for being a spotlight in the Oklahoma Cowman magazine. Wonderful people. Ah, let's see what else is happening here. Oh, coming up this Sunday, April the 7th. At Stillwater at 1 o'clock, I'm going. The Cowboy Classic, purebred beef cattle center there at their west of Stillwater. So anyway, that's coming up 1 o'clock. And Dr. Johnson did tell me yesterday that they were dinner or lunch will be available there. And then let's see, because I guess what? I'm going to eat with my old sidekick, Jill Metter, and her roommate. We're going to meet out there and eat and go meet all the kind of people. But what's available is pretty cool. 25 female lots plus 46 ready for service bulls. Not just Angus. They got Hereford, Simmental, and Brangus. So you ain't got nothing going on this Sunday. This is a great sale to go to and support. And I know a lot of you guys want one of those bulls that's got OSU freeze branded on that front left shoulder. So anyway, get after it. So anyway, I wanted to mention that this coming up this Sunday, and I'll mention it again probably tomorrow, Friday. So anyway, let's see here. I have a story, interesting story, I think, a little bit about corn. American farmers grew an estimated record high 15.3 billion bushels of corn in 2023, according to the USDA. Corn or maize has become a staple of so many products and processes that we forget that there was a time when it wasn't here. Many native tribes of the upper Missouri River, including the Mandan and the Hidatcha, become ring-owned growers of corn, and without it being shared with the cores of discovery during the winter of 1804 and 05, the expedition may not have survived. According to Jake Page in his historical summary of the American Indians in the Hands of the Great Spirit, he explains that maize didn't likely arrive in the American Southwest until about 1000 BC. Intensively cultivated in Mexico for more than 5,000 years, corn was a main staple there. However, when seeds for maize were brought north, it was, according to Page, a puny strain, the ears hardly more than a couple of inches long. See, they didn't have soil tests back then, or this wouldn't have been an issue. But now look at us. Man, we've come alive. It's believed that other varieties of corn arrived in the eastern woodlands by about 400 AD, but Page says it didn't seem to make much of an impact on life there. By 1000 AD, maize and beans appeared to have been consistently grown throughout the native villages and had migrated into the central plains, even as far as present North Dakota, where the Mandan and the Hidatcha, however you say that, Hidatcha, I think that's how you say it, would eventually settle. Maize was first domesticated by ancient farmers in Mexico from a grass species known as Tenesta, an estimated 9,000 years ago. So anyway, you know that corn is a distant cousin to Johnson grass. You guys know that, right? If you dig deep enough, you'll find it. It's a distant cousin, because all grasses are kin to each other, right? So anyway, got that out of the way. Anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting about the maize. Anyway, before we go to break, there was a family, you people, especially in Texas, listen to this. A family dispute leads to litigation over a handwritten will. This case in the estate of Marilyn Frances Martinez pits father against daughter in a dispute over whether language in a handwritten will is valid device of property under Texas law. Marilyn died of COVID in November of 2020, less than 5 days later, 117 hours to be precise. Remember that 117 hours I just said. Her second husband, Raymond Martinez, died as well. She was survived by her son, Clifton, his daughter, Desiree, and Desiree's two siblings. So anyway, so there's a son, his daughter, and two grandkids. After Marilyn's death, Desiree found a handwritten document among her belongings. The first page of the document said that Raymond was to get everything if I die first, to include all my belongings, valuables, and jewelry. Then it said, I will list what special items to give to who. In that list, she left 69 acres in Camp Belton, Texas, equally to Clifton, Desiree and Desiree's two kids. The second page lists a property on Peterson Avenue in San Antonio and says Desi, that's Desiree, lives here. And then it listed a property on Kingley Drive in San Antonio and said that Marilyn and Raymond live here. And that's all it said. Desiree filed a petition for judgment seeking a construction of the will with regard to the San Antonio properties. Clifton argued Marilyn did not intend to diverse those properties in San Antonio. She merely identified who occupied them. He argued that since this was that the will used no testimony language with regard to those properties in San Antonio. She died interstate to those properties and entitled both of them to her sole heir, which is him. The trial court granted Desiree's petition, holding that the Peterson Avenue property went to Desiree and the other one went to Clifton. Since her husband died, when I say her husband, the Martinez, Raymond, died within was not survived by at least 120 hours as required by Texas law to inherit. Clifton appealed, and it all ended up going the way it's supposed to. Desiree got that one property in San Antonio, and they split the 69 acres somewhere out there going this. So here's some takeaways from this. It doesn't matter whether it's 6,900 or 10,000 acres. Remember that what's going on. Although this case is fact-specific and not an overly complex, it offers some key reminders when it comes to Texas estate law. First, remember the wills can be handwritten if they're done completely in the testimony and the testament's own handwriting. Typewritten must be signed by them before two witnesses. Verbal wills are invalid under Texas law. Second, most people are likely not familiar with that 120-hour survival rate rule. This does not often come into play, but it did on this one within 3 hours. How about that? Third, the case illustrates the importance of having a will that clearly devises property per the testator's wishes. Had this been written differently, the entire lawsuit and the time and expenses that went along with it could have been potentially avoided. This is why I always advise people to hire an attorney to draft a will. It may be an added cost up front, but it will save substantial money if it avoids a dispute down the road. So think about your wills, people. It don't matter whether you're in Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, Missouri. It doesn't matter. Make life easier with that stuff there. So anyway, Taylor Ranch beef. You guys ever tried any? If you haven't, you should. Taylor Ranch's entire operation is geared towards one thing, creating a great eating experience for their customers. They start by selecting the best carcass genetics available that enhance both flavor and tenderness. They are hands-on every day as they develop each calf so it will reach its full genetic potential. They then put the calves on feed, in some cases for as much as 200 days. This optimizes and unlocks their full genetic potential and gives the consumer that juicy, mouth-watering, memorable eating experience. Taylor Ranch develops every animal if it's going to be served on their own table. Quarters, halves, or wholes, beef for sale. Third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free, also available. That's Taylor Ranch beef, 405-609-4662. Let's take a Taylor Ranch break. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey folks, I'm Ken Russ, new owner of Hobart Stockyards. We want to thank Rex Fleming for the great job and dedication he has done serving the community in southwestern Oklahoma. I look forward to continuing working with you cattle producers and marketing your cattle. We are bringing in multiple independent cattle buyers and along with current buyers to guarantee you get top prices for your cattle. Give me a call at 580-530-0192. Here at Hobart Stockyards, we only sell the best. And remember that Jesus is Lord.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Are you looking to give your livestock the best nutrition possible? Well, head on over to the Sarah Farmers Co-op. Sarah Co-op is an authorized quality liquid feeds dealer. They handle a variety of QLF Ignite protein and mineral tubs, along with their Pasture Select 20-5 and 35-5 liquid feed. Short on time, the Sarah Co-op will supply, deliver, and fill your liquid feed tank for you so that you don't have to. Don't put it off. Head on over to the Sarah Co-op at 109 South 6th Street in Sarah, or give them a call at 928-2664.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather update for Martha, Oklahoma, right there just north and a little bit west of Altus. 63 degrees, dew points 29, humidity's 28, winds are out of the northeast at 14 miles an hour with wind gust up to 21. No rainfall in the last 10 days there. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 61 degrees. Sunrise at 7:22. Forecast for Altus, 70 degrees today with northwest winds, 12 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, 41. Tomorrow, sunny and 74 with light winds out of the north in the morning, switching out of the southeast tomorrow afternoon, 6 to 9 miles an hour. Okay. I wanted to mention this. Coming up Sunday, Cloud Chief Fire Department 15th annual fundraiser, calf fry and catfish dinner, 11 a.m. to 2 o'clock, curbside pickup available, adults $15, children 12 and under $10. Advanced tickets can be purchased from any Cloud Chief firefighter, and this will be at the Ouachita County Activity Center. Go support your local fire departments, please. It'd be very appreciative. Okay, some prospective plantings are out. Notice I had some in there. Prospective plantings are out. Corn planted area for all purposes in 2024 estimated at 90 million acres this year, down 5% or 4.61 million acres from last year. Soybean planted area for 2024 is estimated 86.5 million acres, up 3% compared to last year. All wheat planted for 2024 is estimated at 47.5 acres, and that's down 4% from 2023. Let's see here. We got cotton. There we go. All cotton planted area for 2024 is estimated to be at 10.7 million acres, up 4% from last year. Upland area is estimated at 10.5 million acres, up 4% from 2023. The America Pima is estimated at 203,000 acres, up 38% from 2023. How about that? Let's see here. I got, where'd he go? Oh, one of my favorite subjects, tractors. Used John Deere tractors smash records according to Machine Repeat. This sale took place last Friday in the Hawkeye State near Kingsland, Iowa, and it had Machine Repeat scouring the record books. Kurt Paulson of Paulson Auctions facilitated the festivities, and Rob Lindy was the lucky proprietor. Of note was a 1990 John Deere 4955 two-wheel drive, 3,733 operating hours in excellent condition that went for a staggering $100,750. That tractor bested the previous record by a whopping $23,000. And a 1990 4755 two-wheel drive, 4,011 operating hours, come in at $95,000, $13,000 higher than the previous record. It's a trend Machine Repeat says he's seen play out in the used equipment market. Used two-wheel drive tractors in good to excellent condition from 30-plus years ago are moving like hotcakes. I was watching this thing unfold, he said, online. It was just unbelievable. Machine Repeat told AgriTalk's Chip Flory on Monday. The two-wheel drive models from the 80s, 90s, and even the early 2000s, and the Magnums on the red side, I didn't want to leave Sugar Daddy out on this deal. Anyway, they just continue to get hotter these last couple of years. In total, Blend's John Deere 55 Series collection went for a bank-busting $845,000 with an average unit per cost average $84,500. Get you some of that. I don't know what you're going to do about that. So anyway, also on kind of a dimmer note, we knew this was coming. Here it is. In an effort to increase biosecurity measures, the Nebraska Department of Agriculture has issued a restriction on the importation of dairy cattle because of the recent outbreak of the bird flu. According to a statement issued by Governor Jim Pillen, the new order requires all breeding female dairy cattle coming into the state to have a permit issued by the NDA, which is the Nebraska Department of Agriculture. To obtain a permit, dairy producers will need to contact them and consult with their local veterinarian. The new importation order will be in place for 30 days until April 30th and will be reevaluated at that time. Currently, the bird flu has been detected in dairy cattle in states such as Texas, New Mexico, Michigan, Idaho, as well as Nebraska's bordering state of Kansas. Animal health and disease control are essential to the livestock industry and health in Nebraska economy, says Sherry Vinton, NDA director. NDA is closely monitoring the bird flu illness in the livestock. We will do this what's right to advocate for Nebraska producers to protect the health of Nebraska livestock and to minimize the impact of the bird flu will have on the dairy producers in that state. In addition to applying for a permit to import cattle into the state, the NDA recommends dairy producers adhere to strict biosecurity practices and quarantining new animals into herds for at least 30 days, if possible. If dairy producers notice symptoms such as sudden drop in milk production, changes in milk color, consistently decreased feed intake, or other clinical signs, they should contact their herd veterinarian and the Nebraska Department of Agriculture immediately. Yeah, we all knew that one was coming. Surprise. You guys check out the drought monitor lately? Did you see last week? This U.S. drought area is the smallest since 2020, which is a good sign for all of us. Even though some of us need some rain right now, we're, the drought area is the smallest. Some of the most severe drought conditions in the United States currently exist in New Mexico, where 3.51% of the state, mostly in the southwest corner, is experiencing exceptional drought. Been a great day. We'll see you guys tomorrow. This is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.
Number one for new country.
KECO, Elk City.
What President Biden wants from Israel's investigation. Lisa Brady, Fox News. Spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre answering a question a short time ago about the president's take on Israel's probe into its deadly airstrike on an aid convoy in Gaza.
He wants to see an investigation that's swift, an investigation that's comprehensive, that brings accountability, and he wants to make sure that it is made public.
The president has said Israel is not doing enough to protect civilians and aid workers. A State Department spokesman says the attack that killed World Central Kitchen workers will not affect U.S. efforts to stand up a floating pier off Gaza's shore to deliver aid. A Texas immigration law